Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, as we approach election season, we're about a year away from the next presidential election. The debates are going on by both Democrats and Republicans. And I think a lot of us, and I'm including me, have lost faith in the overreaching federal government. We don't see government solutions working. We have a vast class distinction. There are just lots of things that we don't think are gelling well. It's the same feeling within the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party. What do you do about it? And it's often left to the politicians to come up with solutions. Got a guest on right now, Bill Muckler. Bill is a businessman by profession, has a long distinguished service in the Marine Corps, a number of successful businesses, but he's taken the time to try to put into place solutions, what he thinks this country can do. His book is called 2020, A Clear Vision for America. You can find the book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Bill, glad to talk to you today. Glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show.
Good morning, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, are you still living in St. Louis? I see in your book that you were born and raised in St. Louis. You still up that way or not?
No, I'm not. I'm in Cocoa, Florida, actually, pretty much across the Indian River from the Space Center. So we get to see the launches, and it's a great place to live.
No, how exciting about that. How exciting about that. Now, Bill, besides your military career, you've been an entrepreneur. You've had this 40 years as a consultant. You've done a number of things. Now, you would think that you're living the good life down in Florida, sunning on the beach a good bit, throwing a fishing line in, but you've taken the time to write a fascinating book. I enjoyed reading it, about a better, clear vision for America. I think most Americans, after watching these first several debates, think that we certainly need a clearer vision based on those running for office. Why did you decide to jump into a project like this?
Well, Jim, I'm a great grandfather, and I'm really concerned about the country we're going to leave our kids and grandkids with. We're talking $20 trillion of national debt by the time the next president's inaugurated. And I'm a Christian. I don't like the way our country's heading in that direction. I'm a graduate of Mizzou, and I don't see our education system improving. I see it getting worse and worse. We're spending more money, and our test scores are going down and down. And I've been a Marine. I don't like what's happening with the military. I don't think we're keeping a strong, stable military force or armed forces the way we should. And certainly in business, you mentioned overreaching. The government is just overreaching in the business so much that it's just almost impossible for somebody to start a small business, and small businesses are the backbone of this country.
Well, let's talk about a few specifics. Now, you talked about education, the fact that, and I can agree with you, I can show you where our scores in education compared to other industrialized countries in the world have dropped dramatically. We're in the, 34th or 35th in math and science and in so many areas compared to other countries. So, obviously, we have a major educational problem in this country. There's talk about charter schools, and I happen to believe in charter schools. Some people don't think they're the problem in education. But in your book, however, you want to abolish the U.S. Department of Education. Now, give me your reasoning on that. You want to leave it up to the states? Can the states give uniformity to where good engineers are trained in Florida as well as Missouri as well as Louisiana? Or is there a role for the federal government in terms of educating our kids?
The reason I want to abolish the Department of Education is it started in 1979, and I thought we had a pretty good educational system before then. And I think the states are sovereign entities, and they should be able to govern themselves and set the educational standards. The federal government since 1979 has gotten more and more involved in the education of our students, and we've gone from number one in the world to, like you say, we're down in the 20s and 30s in test results in an industrialized nation. So that clearly is not working for us. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I see that if we can get schools to have more involvement by the parents and start competing with each other, then I think students are going to do better, because we see so many abuses in the education system right now, and it's just not working.
Well, look, like I say, no one is happy with the system, and we've had a big fight down here where I live over charter schools. We've got a governor's race, and several of the candidates said, well, we don't believe in charter schools. It ought to be public education. I've got a daughter who's very involved in the charter school network up in New York, where she says they're a huge success up that way. So you think after 200 years we'd get the system right, but for some reason we're still at odds so much across the educational spectrum. Now, Bill, you mentioned we talk about national debt. We owe so much money. And one of the things you're proposing, we've heard this in Congress a lot, is a balanced budget. And I know that most states have to balance their budgets. They can't go into debt. But the federal government, I think, takes the attitude, particularly when you've got war and you've served so distinguishedly in the military, when you have massive obligations, as we do in Afghanistan and Iraq throughout the Middle East, should the government have flexibility to be able to borrow money in times of crisis?
Oh, yes, I think they should. But I also think that right now what we really need to do is change the entire budgeting system, because this just isn't working. What we're doing right now, and we've just seen it unfold before our eyes right now, is we have continuing resolutions. So we don't really have a budget. We haven't had a budget since 2009, and that's disturbing. And what we're doing is we're going to raise the debt limit by $1.5 trillion. Well, this is just like a family who's in deep financial problems. They're strapped for cash, and their credit cards are maxed out, and they're saying, oh, I've got the solution. We'll just get our credit card companies to increase our debt limit, and that way our problems are solved. Isn't that the same thing we're doing with the national debt?
But if you do, where do you begin cutting? In other words, if you're not going to raise the debt, do we cut back on the military? Do we stay out of the Middle East? Do we cut back on Social Security? You've got to have some ways to make it all work. You're right, that family's got to live within its means. So let's talk a little bit about government living within its means. And you've got and here's what concerns me, Bill. I think you're on the conservative area of the spectrum philosophically and politically, as are a lot of my listeners. You've got I know we always hear Obama, 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 but the United States Senate and the House of Representatives that can appropriate the money, that can veto what the president does, that can tie his hands up, are both controlled by the Republican Party. So is there a dime's worth of difference between the two? I mean, neither party seems to be serving us very well.
I agree with that. And, yeah, there might be a penny's worth of difference between the two. I think the Democrats are probably a little bit more aggressive, and maybe they're a little meaner and nastier in the way they go about doing things, and the Republicans are just pretty naive and cowardly about everything, and they just never know what to do, and they're afraid, you know, somebody's going to say something bad about them, so they, kind of bend with the wind. So, really, not much difference between them. I think they all get to Washington D.C. and they fall into the trap that they think that their most important job is to get reelected.
No doubt about it. Hey, Bill, I got to take a break right now. I want you to stay with me. We're talking to Bill Muckler, a Florida resident, businessman who's written a great book called A Clear Vision for America 2020. You can find the book on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. We've all got some solutions. How do you get heard? Well, Bill's laid it out in writing. That's how he wants to be heard. We'll come back and quiz him some more about some solutions. Hey, freshen up your coffee. I'm enjoying mine right now, and we'll come back and make some more common sense right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense. right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at dollardownfall.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to dollardownfall.com. Again, that's dollardownfall.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Presidential election, what, 363 days away, if I've calculated correctly. Going to get a new president. Lots of debate about what this country could do to straighten out so many problems we face today. My guest is Bill Muckler. Bill lives over in Florida. He's a businessman, but he's taken the time to write a very compelling book, most of which I agree, some I'm not sure about. I want to question him about. He's here with me right now. The book's called 2020, A Clear Vision for America. And, Bill, before we took the break, I was asking specific questions. Now you lay out 20 ideas of things we should change. Can we talk about? I'm going to talk about them with you right now, if you can. Let's talk. The thing we hear so much in these debates, and 90% of the reason why we do is because of Donald Trump, is immigration. We've got a problem with 20 million illegal immigrants into this country today. Both parties have been impotent in terms of dealing with the problem. Ronald Reagan, who Republicans say is the mantra of people that they look up to, let, I think, 8 million illegals in and forgave them with no border security, no effort to change the border situation. We've seen the same thing under George Bush, now under Barack Obama. What would you do in this country today to deal with immigration? Or is it just, Katie, bar the door, open up the borders, and let's just let the free market reign, and we'll worry on a case-by-case basis about security? What would you do about our immigration problem in this country, Bill?
Well, Jim, first of all, we're a sovereign nation, and I think we have to think of ourselves that way. So we should have some kind of laws and regulations. I think the southern border and the ports are really our biggest problems right now, and I think we need to lock down the southern border and just shut off all immigrants coming across. And we need to do the same thing with the ports. I don't think we hear too much about the ports, but pretty serious situations there too. And then what we need to do is we need to create a moratorium for the people who are here in the United States at this time. We've got a lot of people going through the 10-step naturalization process, which I think is fantastic. I think it could use a little bit of tweaking here and there, a little bit of upgrading. But we need to then take the people who are in this country that are in an immigrant status and give them the options and get them to come out and say, look, we're going to take care of you. We're going to give you options. You can get into the 10-step naturalization process, but you're going to have to get into a queue. And then either that or if you just want to be here to work, we're going to allow you to work. When you sign up, we're going to let you, have a 3-year work permit that you can work here and stay with your families. Or if you're a student, then you sign up on a year-to-year basis, and we renew your status every year. And if you fall in the fourth category, of which I combine, people who don't want to be here are people who should not be here, who are like felons and so forth. I think that we then give them the opportunity to leave the country and, you know, not to come back again for a period of time, say, let's say 3 years or something like that. But I think that's what we need to do. And then in my book, I lay out a lot of qualifications of people that they should be self-sufficient. They should be reliable. They need to keep us appraised of where they are and where they're working. Not that we're trying to keep track of them or follow them and govern them unjustly, but just to know what the status of the people are who are in this country who are not citizens.
You think there's the political will to do so? The Hispanic community, even those who are legally here or citizens, often balk at any effort to curtail any rights of those already here to have to be forced to leave the country. And, of course, election year coming up, the Hispanic vote may determine who the next president is. You see the political will out of either party?
No, I don't see the political will, but I do see the will of people. I think the Hispanic people, which is, I guess, what you're mostly alluding to, and that would be the largest majority of the people who are here, I think they would welcome this with open arms, because I think they would see, okay, here's a structure that we can live in and we can work in and we can exist in, and here are our expectations. Because I think people want to be self-reliant. I think people want to work. We just have to give them the proper environment to do that. So I think that they would go along with this.
Right, Bill, let me jump around. We've got so much to cover. We don't have a lot of time left. You talked about energy, oil, and gas, and you talked about make exploration, drilling, and mining a top priority to reduce foreign independence. You're living over in a state in Florida that has an abundance of oil and gas off its coasts, and yet they have refused to allow any exploration over that way in Florida. So I'm living down in the state of Louisiana. We've got a lot of listeners up in Alaska that said, look, if the country needs energy, we will go ahead and take the environmental damage and take the negatives in behalf of the better good of the country. So does Florida have some shaping up to do?
Absolutely. In fact, the entire country has some shaping up to do. We have to be energy dependent. We should be energy exporters with zero imports coming in now. That could, there could be some exceptions to that on some specific products. But there is no reason to think that we're going to be environmentally irresponsible if we start drilling offshore or in various parts of the country or in Alaska. That's just not the case. I've worked in this industry. I've worked in power plants and oil refineries and coal mines. I've done all of it. And these are responsible people who want to do a good job. And you talk to the people that work in those places and work with them, they're all responsible people. They want to do a good job. What their problem is there's so many government regulations is they're trying to run their businesses by trying to comply with regulations and trying to get around, you know, what can we do and not do. If we eased up all those regulations, I think we'd see companies that really want to do the right thing, and those that don't, well, they're not going to succeed.
Well, and I agree, and I live it, and of course, what you've thrown up to me, I think we ought to have regulation with strict environmental requirements. You know, we had the BP spill over this way and other spills over here that have devastated the coast and devastated a lot of small businesses over here in Louisiana. So there's a balance. You got to put in the right checks and balances and to make that work. But I agree that we need to do a lot more offshore drilling. You know, by the way, the best fishing in America, they tell me, I'm not an offshore fisherman, is offshore the coast of Louisiana. Marvelous catches out there. You go out there right now today, and you'll see boats from Florida, California, all licensed there because they fish better here. And you know where they go fish? They fish around the oil rigs because that's where all the fish gather. So,
I can give you example after example of places I've been, like power plants, who are located on a lot of ground where they have deer and turkey and everything wandering around their grounds. And they actually build fish tanks to regulate their water and so forth. So all these things are happening. The people just don't realize it. What they see is they see a lot of smoke coming off of a water cooler at a power plant, you know, one of these big water cooling systems. And then when I say that's not really smoke, it's condensation because those are self-enclosed systems, people are amazed because they don't hear those things. They don't know those things unless they actually work in those industries. So I'm with you. We can do these things. We just have to be environmentally safe and secure, and we'll be that way. This is a great country with great people. We can do this.
One more question to you, Bill, because we're out of time. You want to abolish the United Nations, and I've been amazed at the lack of involvement by the United Nations, the lack of its effectiveness in the Middle East, for example, and to where they just don't seem like they're even relevant anymore. So would you leave us every country to be a rogue, or what would you replace the United Nations with?
Okay, My idea is to get the UN out of the U.S. and the U.S. out of the UN and start our own association of nations. And I think there's a lot of like-minded nations that have the same ideals that we have that we can align ourselves with. And that would be where I